Florida, but Desi wouldn't change the name. "Believe me, it's not worth the trouble," he said. "Guy was here, what, 25 years? I pay for the sign, I change the lettering on the window, and then what? People are still gonna call it Eddie's." He was right. They did. Sometimes in February, I'd be sitting in earth science class or world history, and outside the windows, frozen snow would be bordering the sidewalk and the sky would be gunmetal gray. And I'd start thinking about having a chocolate egg cream at Eddie's. And suddenly, summer didn't feel so far away. If I thought hard enough, I could taste the edge of the chocolate syrup at the back of my throat, and it would make me homesick for sitting at the counter, drinking an egg cream and smoking a cigarette underneath the creaky ceiling fan that never did much except push the stillborn air back and forth, while everyone was hanging out by the magazine racks if the cops were patrolling Comanche Street, or sitting on the garbage cans on the side of the store, where, when it was hot enough, you could smell the pavement melting. Sometimes Desi's wife, Angie, would open the side door and start sweeping people away, saying, "Look at yous, loafing! What would your mother say? She saw you sitting on a trash can in the middle of the day." And Billy Mackey or someone would say, "She'd say, 'Where do you think you are, Eddie's?'" Then everyone would laugh, and Angie would chase whoever said it with the broom, sometimes down to the end of the block, right up to the edge of the ocean. Eddie's was open only in summer, from Memorial Day to Labor Day, sometimes until the end of September if the weather stayed warm. Desi and Angie and their kids, Gina and Vinny, moved down from Queens to Elephant Beach and lived in the rooms over the store, where they had a faint view of the ocean. On Sundays, when Vinny or Angie worked the counter, Desi would walk down to Comanche Street Beach and put up a red, white, and green umbrella, the Italian flag, and stretch out on a lounge chair, wearing huge black sunglasses, a white cotton sun hat, polka dot bathing trunks that looked like underwear, and white tennis shoes, because once he'd cut his toe on a broken shell and needed stitches. He'd lie out on that lounge chair like a king, smoking a cigar, turning up his portable radio every time a Sinatra song came on. If any of us tried talking to him, even to say hello, he'd say, "Beat it. Today I'm incognito." "I'll tell you what the trouble is with you kids," Desi said now, walking back to where I was sitting. He took my empty glass and started mixing me another egg cream. He squirted seltzer and chocolate sauce into the glass and stirred it to a frenzy. He slid it back across the counter and I tasted it, and it was perfect. "The trouble with all yous is you don't know how to shut up. I mean, who am I, Helen Keller? I can't see or hear what goes on the other side of the counter. It's sex and drugs and rock and roll all day long, and mostly sex. And now it's not just the guys talking." His voice dropped a shocked octave lower. "It's the girls, the girls. So-and-so got so-and-so pregnant. So-and-so had an abortion. I mean, please, what do I need to hear this for? Look at that little girl, what's her name? The one got knocked up, didn't even finish high school. Waddling in here like a pregnant duck. Nothing sacred, nothing. And then you wonder why." Desi shook his head. "Believe me, there was just as much sex around when your mother and I were young. Thing is, we weren't talking about it. We were doing it." We both looked up as the door banged open, and then just as quickly banged shut. Desi shrugged. "False alarm," he said. He opened the ice cream freezer, and the cold heat from the freezer melted into the air. He began scooping ice cream into a glass sundae dish, vanilla, coffee, mint chocolate chip, and then covered the ice cream with a layer of chocolate sauce, then a layer of marshmallow topping, and finally a few healthy squirts of Ready Whip. He picked up a spoon and casually began digging in. Angie hated that Desi could eat like that and never gain an ounce. She said that all she had to do was look at food and she gained 10 pounds. Desi said she did a lot more than look, but only when Angie wasn't around. I glanced up at the Coca-Cola clock behind the counter, wondering where everyone was. I'd left the AMP, where I worked, at 3 o'clock, and figured I'd hang out at Comanche Street until it was time to go home for dinner. It was one of those dirty, overcast days in early summer, and no one was at any of the usual places. They were probably at somebody's house, in Billy's basement, or maybe at Nanny's. I thought about calling, but the taste of an egg cream, the whoosh of the overhead fan, Desi's familiar gluttony, were all reassuring. Part of me was afraid I might be missing something.